Hello everybody and welcome to The Shit Show with J-Bo. In this episode, I interview Robin Edwards, Seattle's own Robin Edwards, aka Lisa Prank. She has a new record coming out in June. It's called Adult Teen. It's on Miscreant Records and Father/Daughter Records. She's right in there with everybody that's happening right now in Seattle. She just toured with Taco Cat. She's down with Childbirth, Chastity Belt, Pony Time. She has an amazing pop punk sensibility. Her politics aren't overt, but she has a particular brand of radical vulnerability. We discussed that in this interview, as well as her love of Blink 182, her hopeless romanticism, her attraction to love and heartbreak as a young girl, and not caring if you like pop music. Not only not caring, but proclaiming it and not being an elitist about things. Anything goes. This interview was recorded in a small farmhouse in western Pennsylvania on the phone. Right in the middle of this interview, I put a song called Starting Again. It's off Adult Teen, the record coming out in June by Lisa Prank. I wanted to thank her record label, Miscreant Records again, Father/Daughter Records again, for letting me use this song in my podcast. I wanted to thank Sean Ruffner for helping me with the music at the beginning of this podcast, and the music you hear right now, the cool little pad underneath me speaking. So everybody sit back, enjoy. This is The Shit Show with J-Bo with Lisa Prank. Hope you're having a great day, and we'll talk soon. Okay. Bye now.
How you doing today?
Cool. I'm doing great. I'm sitting in my bedroom right now drinking some coffee. Getting ready to go to work.
I'm sitting in my bedroom drinking coffee as well.
Cool. Yeah, it's great. I have a coffee maker right next to my bed. I have like a little Mr. Coffee, and it just makes it so I never have to leave my bedroom.
Awesome. So we'll go ahead and start this rad interview right now. And what I want you to do is state your name, what you do, and what you're here to promote today.
Oh, my name is Robin Edwards, but my crazy stage alter ego is Lisa Prank. And I guess we're going to talk about my record, Adult Teen, that's coming
out
in June. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So your crazy alter ego, Lisa Prank. It's very catchy.
Maybe not crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Very catchy, a lot like your music. Tell me a little bit about how you came up with that persona. When do you remember the very first time that idea hit you?
Well, the name came actually from, I was being bad and I was writing some graffiti on a wall and I needed a name very quickly, to like spray paint. And I thought of Lisa Prank. And, so that was like a kind of a one-time thing. I'm not usually a vandal, but, then later when, I wanted to, I wanted to play music solo, but I didn't just want to use my boring name. So, I thought of Lisa Prank as a funny pun name for my project.
Now, where are you from, Robin?
I'm from Colorado. I grew up in Colorado. I was born in LA, but I only lived there for 2 years as a baby. And I grew up in Colorado, and I lived there until about 2 years ago when I moved to Seattle.
and your latest record, Adult Teen. Now, did I read this right? It's out on a label called Miscreant Records. And what's up with that? Is that a label? Is that your label, or what is that?
Yeah, it's on Miscreant Records and Father Daughter Records. Father Daughter is putting out the vinyl, and Miscreant is putting out the tape. And they're just two of my favorite labels, Dream Come True, that are run by really amazing women who put out great music. So Father Daughter is out of San Francisco, and Miscreant is out of New York. And I'm really stoked that they care about me enough to put out my record.
Now, is it important to you that you mentioned they were wonderful women? I believe you. They sound great. I'll check out the label further. Is it important to you that they are women, or is it just kind of like that's how it happened to be? I mean, would you prefer it that way? Or there's a big scene in Seattle happening, you know?
Yeah, that's just kind of how it happened to be. But
okay,
I am really stoked that I don't know, it's really rad to work with cool women running their own businesses, and I don't know, the gender is less important to me, and what is more important is working with people who I feel like get me, and I feel like they get me.
That's obviously super important.
That's the same as like dating somebody. Like, you want to date someone who gets you, you know?
Who understands you, absolutely.
Yeah. It's the same thing as like looking for a record label. You know, those connections are magical and special and rare.
That's very true. Now, how did you ingratiate yourself into Seattle, into the Seattle scene? I mean, who did you know when you came here?
I mainly knew the people from the bands Taco Cat and Pony Time. My old band was called Lust Cats of the Gutters, and I was in another band called the Matildas, and we had Lust Cats toured a bunch, and we had played with Taco Cat a bunch over the years, like back and forth between Seattle and Denver, and it was like one of those connections where I always felt like we really hit it off, and we always like had a great time together when we were in the same city. And then the last time that they were in Denver and we played a show, I booked a show for them, and Lisa Prank played, and they stayed at my house and we were just hanging out, and they kept saying like, you should move to Seattle. And I was sort of at a place in my life where I was playing music by myself. I didn't really have a band. I was like recently out of a relationship, so I wasn't dating anyone, and it was kind of just like, I was like, okay, I'll move to Seattle. Like, so I feel really lucky that I feel like they really, and how they tell it, they say that they kidnapped me, and that they had been planning on taking me away from Denver for years. Like Stacey from Pony Time let me stay in her apartment for the first week I was in town, and then Taco Cat let me move into a room in their house. So it was and like helped me get a job. Like, I feel like both of those bands I knew, and they really helped me out a lot, and I felt very welcomed. And then right when I first moved here, I went on a tour with Childbirth. I became really good friends with Bree and Julia and Stacey, and I don't know. Yeah.
You immediately fell in with the cool kids. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Those are like the touchstone bands. I mean, everybody is talking about them, I think, nationally. And I've been watching them for a couple of years, and I agree, absolutely amazing songwriters, all of them.
They're great. Yeah, I feel so inspired. I feel like I always wanted to have... Like, I had a group of friends that made music when I lived in Denver, but then it kind of, you know how, like, friend groups and, like, just that any place, like, it just changes. Like, there's a magical time, and then people, like, move away, or they, like, grow up and, like, get mortgages and have babies and stuff, like, or whatever. And I felt like my scene in Denver sort of, like, dissipated. But just the one that I was involved in, there's still like a lot of really great people making music there. And so I feel like I was really longing for a creative community of people. And I'm really lucky that that I found it here.
Absolutely.
It's a dream come true.
Now, some of those bands you mentioned seem to me to be varying shades of political in their speak, especially in their music. You don't seem to be as much. But I guess my strange question to you is, can one be political without actually being like overtly political? I mean, do you feel because of who you are and how you're doing things, you are political in a way? Do you understand what I'm saying at all? Or?
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying. I actually was talking to Julia, who plays in Chastity Belt and Childbirth, about this the other day, because we were just kind of talking about, like, the, you know, like, there's been, like, a lot of roundups of, like, feminist bands in Seattle, and Lisa Frank is included in them, which I'm really stoked about, because I absolutely consider myself a feminist, and, you know, I feel very in line with all of the political things that Childbirth and Tuggle Cat say, you know, but it's funny because, you know, there's my songs are not political at all. And something Julia was saying, like, kind of, she was like, well, it kind of is political to just, you know, be vulnerable and talk about your feelings openly. I don't know. I'm not sure that Lisa Frank has a political agenda other than to be radically vulnerable and empathetic. And
I've interviewed Childbirth.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, and they were killer. I mean, you could hear it on my whatever. That's a little plug for me. What does Blink 182 mean to you?
Well, they were my favorite band when I was very young, like 11 or 12, probably, maybe younger.
I feel like they're coming back now, man.
They never went away.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. They definitely went away for me for a little while. Like, I thought there's just like a really special thing about a band that you love so much when you're really young, like that, like those songs are just so deeply stuck in my heart forever. And so I don't know, I just like listen to them like crazy. And one thing I was thinking about when I like think about Blink 182 is like listening to their music. I was at an age where I had never been in love. I had never been heartbroken. I was a child. Like I was full on a child. But for some reason, those songs really resonated with me, and really like I felt them deeply, and they like kind of made me ache in this way that I had never like felt that like heartbreak longing ache before, even though I had never really experienced it.
When you say ache, you mean like an ache, like relationship, like love lost type thing, or do you mean like you were attracted to these dudes as a young lady and you didn't know what that was?
I was attracted to the idea of love and heartbreak.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. I don't. Does that make sense? I'm trying to explain it the best way I can. I feel like it just kind of like really struck that hopeless romantic chord in my heart, and then of course, like as you get older, like the bands that were really cool to you when you were really young, you sort of like, at least for me and a lot of people I talk to about it, like you sort of like get too cool for it or too punk, and you want to listen to only obscure things that are not popular. But then at least for me, I had a real coming around to like the all the pop punks that I loved and everything like that.
That's funny.
I relate even more now as like an adult. So it's like, so for me they're so special because I related to it as a kid and then I had some distance from it, and then when I re-listened at probably the age that they were writing those songs, it just struck me even harder than before.
That's very interesting. You know, it comes into something else I was writing about this interview and wanted to talk with you about. You know, like being like an elitist and like really down on other people's, you know, pop sensibilities because it's like dumb music or something. I remember my first buddy who, you know, had a Joy Division piece of vinyl, and I remember thinking, holy shit, he started like dissing on my music taste, and I took him real seriously and really felt bad about myself. And at some point, and it's only the last like probably 10 years, I'm like, well, fuck them, fuck everybody, because like I like what I like. And so I look at it like what you were saying, you get Tonkin Too Cool, and like you go, it's like the dark side of the moon, but then you come around the other side and you go, fuck it, and you embrace everything, and nobody can say shit to you because it's just all so happy and joyous. Is that what kind of happened? Like you came back to that pop sensibility, like you went around the dark side of the moon. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, totally. Yeah, like I feel like you kind of have to explore the extreme of it, of both sides, I think. Like, and now, I just like so much stuff now. I love Taylor Swift. I love so much music. I've been really listening to a lot of popular country music from the late 90s lately. Like I don't know.
Who's really doing it for you, country wise?
Oh, well, I love Shania Twain. I also love this. I love this lady, Patti Loveless, who's she was more from the 80s, but she's a pop country star but her songs are really pop punk. Like, they're just like I feel like if you switched out like the pedal steel for like palm muting, they would just absolutely be pop punk songs.
Shania Twain kind of did that. Right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't even know if she has pedal steel. That's just a funny thing that I say. But yeah, same for Shania Twain. Like, and I feel like I was really into pop punk, and still am. But what I was missing from pop punk, at least when I was a kid, was like there were not that many women really singing about their feelings in the way that these dudes were. And I feel like where the women singing about their feelings were was like in pop country, like Shania Twain, and I don't know, even like I've been really into some Faith Hill songs lately. I don't know.
Robin, have you heard the Shania Twain record where she put out two of the same record, but she switched out the pedal steels and banjos for like keyboards, and it's a double record. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
That actually exists. You should check it out. Yeah.
That exists. That's so cool. Yeah, I mean those songs are pop songs. Like Shania Twain writes.
Good
pop song
is a good song. I don't give a shit what genre it is, you know?
Yeah. But yeah. I don't know.
Do you remember the snow was falling? Parking lot, I'm holding you so tight. Just before
Now, what songs do you tend to like better, the ones that come to you immediately or the ones that you can kind of construct over time?
I think for sure the one, I don't know. It's always like really satisfying to finish a song. It's like it's the best feeling. But I don't know. I really love when it just like all comes at once.
Yeah.
That's like it feels like magic.
Now I want to talk about your new record a little bit. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a little bit of a rhythm thing here, and I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, that's cool. That's all I was saying. I was just longing for that magic. I haven't written a song in a few months, and I wish that I had.
I think the most important thing is to have your guitar in your hands and be on the ready for when that moment comes, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So your latest record, very cool, very, very poppy and super catchy. I've heard it about 3 times today, maybe the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
I went through it pretty quick. I mean, the songs are very quick. I hear some Ramones in there. I don't know. I feel like the Ramones could do these kind of songs very well. Who is the song Love Is Dumb about? Could you elaborate on that?
It's about, that song is about, like, that feeling of dating someone when you're in those first stages where it's just, like, I feel like the feeling of love is, like, makes you feel so stupid. Like, you're just, like, I don't know. It's, like, you're just, like, it's like you're on, I mean, you're, like, on a bunch of crazy, hormones. Like, you're, like, and it's just about that, like, feeling of love making you feel so stupid in a beautiful, wonderful way.
Well, that's very interesting.
So,
have you ever had love made you feel nervous in those same first few months? Like really fucking nervous?
Oh yeah. I mean, well, it's always like, it's kind of a combination. Like, especially when you're when you feel something really magical, like for me at least, there's always that fear that it's going to go away.
Yeah.
So I guess that is the nerves that I feel about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love the lyric that says, what the hell is it? You said you're not drinking again. You said you're not drinking, but you just started again. Something that, what song did that come from?
Oh, that one's called Starting Again.
That's a great line. Did that really happen to you?
Oh, yeah, that really happened. But, yeah, I mean, that song is very literal. all the details are exactly what happened.
I want you to pick out another lyric from that record and that you absolutely adore, maybe your favorite line, and tell me a little bit about it.
Oh, man, that's a hard thing to do. What lyrics do I like? I don't know. That one you just said, like, I was really proud of that lyric when I wrote it, that, like, you say you're not still drinking, you just started again. I swear I don't still miss you, I just started again. Like, I was really proud of that when I wrote it, but just because it was, like, came from such a, like, I don't know. I mean, it came from, like, a situation for me that was like so painful and I was so upset about, and it felt so good to just like be able to at least write a song about it, or at least, like, you know, like I felt like at least like one thing positive could have come out of like me feeling so terrible. So I like that lyric.
Okay. I quite like it as well.
What else? Thank you. it's hard because, like, I feel like after, I mean, I'm really excited about a lyric right after I write it, but then, like, later I'm like, oh, God, I can't believe that I thought it was a good idea to make all these things public. another one that I like is, like, that, and it's like one of the last songs on the record. It's like a quieter one. It's called Turn It Up. And And I like the chorus of that one a lot. I'm really proud of that chorus. It's like, what is it? I feel like singing in my head to even hear it.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's like, if you're sad, you're listening to the wrong song. And if you're, if you hear your mind, the music's just not loud enough, turn it up. And that came from like some advice that one of my old coworkers gave me, where he didn't say it exactly like that, but like that was the sort of the sentiment of his advice, was like listen to some music, like stop, you know, like stop thinking so much about everything.
Right. No, that's absolutely liberating. It's kind of like exercising or something for me. It's both. Listen to music, go out for a run, anything. It can do amazing things for your mindset.
Yeah.
You know? Who plays on your record, Robin? Is it all you?
It's not all me. Well, the drum machine, I programmed. It's a Roland MC-505. Drum machine keeps time great.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I had a bunch of people do guest parts on it, like Bree from Taco Cat did a few bass lines. Andrew Sullivan from the Trashies did a few bass lines. Ian Dugas from the Trashies played some auxiliary percussion to the drum machine. So like on some of the songs we like added an extra hi-hat or something, and he did that. Eric from Taco Cat like recorded it all, so he ended up playing some parts on it too. Like he did a guitar solo on one of the songs. Julia from Childbirth and Trusty Belt did a solo on one of them. Emily from Taco Cat took some backup vocals.
I heard that one. I knew it was her. Thank you.
Yeah. So the guitars, except for like the solos and stuff, except for like two special solos from Eric and Julia. Like guitar is all me, but then like a bunch of people helped like add little parts to it, which was really fun. We just recorded it at my house, so it was kind of like the day we were recording two of the songs. I live with Bree and she was home, and so I was like, Bree, wanna learn these songs and play them on the record? And she did.
Awesome. Now,
yeah.
Okay, so I've been listening to it, and, you know, there's some moments on the record where I'm like, ooh, I've heard that chord progression before, and I've started to sing some other song, but then you immediately go into, like, something that is nowhere close to the song I was thinking about. So my question to you is, I see this a fair amount where there's total originality versus, like, feel-good, you know, pop, where it's, like, three chords and the truth or whatever.
Yeah.
And what's it about to you? You know, I was talking with So Pitted, who's a great band as well, totally different from Lisa Prank, but they didn't use, I don't even think they used chords, it's just bizarre, but, you know, then you have, like, pop punk stuff like Billy Joe from Green Day. I mean, the guy has done songs in the same key, at the same tempo as these other super popular songs. Do you care about that? Where do you come down? Are you fine with just, like, feeling good? Playing whatever the first thing that comes to mind. How does that process go? Do you ever feel like, oh, that's... Because there's only so many power chords on the neck of a guitar.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, like, I don't really think about that stuff, honestly.
I feel
like if I did think about it, it would just be a mind hole that would, like, stop me from writing a song ever again. Like,
that's totally legit.
Like, so many songs sound so... Like, have you ever seen that YouTube video of, like, it's just, like, they match up a bunch of popular songs with, like, the exact same chord progression. It's, like, I don't know. There are only so many chords, and some of them sound really good together, so, and of course people are going to use them over and over again. So, I guess I never really, like, set out being, like, I'm going to use this chord progression from this other song. I just kind of, like, play what sounds good, and, if I don't know, and then I'm not too worried about if a bunch of other people used the same chords before, because they always have. Absolutely. I feel like every time you're writing a song, like someone has written a song with those chords before, probably. But that's just kind of for me. But I also love music that doesn't do that. Like I love Sepitted. I live with Nathan here. He lives in the house that I live in. Yeah, cool. And he's a great musician, and I feel like I've learned so much from hanging out with him and talking to him about music.
Wow, that's very neat. Now, who is your music aimed at? Do you have a targeted audience by any chance?
I guess my favorite people to come to shows are teenagers. I remember what it was like to be a teenager listening to music, and I don't know. I guess my music is aimed at anyone with feelings.
Okay.
And anyone who's ever had a heart.
Nice. That's awesome. Do you ever feel like being you're like the sole, you know, you're the dictator of your own band, right? I mean, what you say goes. Do you ever feel like, oh man, you know, I'm going to run out of ideas. I need to collaborate with you. Do you ever collaborate? Is that ever an issue? Or do you just have a million miles of ideas and you feel like you could do two more records? Or how's that going, the depth of your ideas and your all that shit?
I feel like I have a lot of ideas. I collaborate with Bri and Julia, and I just feel like I keep mentioning them, in another band called Gutless. So I feel like that sort of gets the collaboration bug out of my system.
Oh, you're in a band with those two?
Yeah, it's kind of like an every 6 months band. We'll play a show every 6 months. But I think we have like a full album of stuff that we wrote. We should record it someday. But I don't know. I mean, I guess I feel like Lisa Prink is a collaboration in a lot of ways. Like, I write all the songs for myself, but like in terms of like having help recording it and just like, I feel like the emotional support that all my friends give me about it. Like, I feel like I was joking with Bri the other day because we live together, and just like about how like we are all Lisa Prink. Like, I feel like because I don't have a bandmate, like I feel like your bandmate is usually the person that you're like, you would like bug about like, oh my God, I'm so stressed about this thing. Listen to me rant about it. You know, what should I do? But because I don't have that, it's like, just like all my friends kind of bear that responsibility for me. Sometimes I definitely get jealous of people who get to be in bands, and I really like that camaraderie, and it's fun to have other people on stage with you sometimes.
Who made your Lisa Prank crowd?
Liam from So Pitted made it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's an amazing artist. He made it out of pipe cleaners and foam and stuff. Yeah, one day at a show that I was playing, and he was at it, and I just like, I didn't know him super well at the time, but I think I just like kind of ambushed him and was like, Liam, I want you to, like, dress Lisa Prank. Like, I don't know why. I was just, like, kind of, like, just have this wild idea that he would have a cool idea of something. And, like, and at the time, I was wearing, like, I have another crown that I would wear that's just, like, a weird little, like, jeweled crown. And I was wearing that with these big, like, shrink-eating hand earrings that my friend made for me. And maybe like a week later or something, Liam messaged me on Instagram a drawing he did of the Lisa Prank crown, where he basically like exaggerated what I was already wearing, and he made it for me, and it's beautiful, and I love it, and I can't live without it now.
It's a very great crown.
But yeah,
I really like it.
But he makes really cool art and pieces for his other band, the Fabulous Downey Brothers, too. And he wears stuff like Lisa Prank Crown in that band, and also and in So Pitted sometimes too. But yeah,
that guy is definitely very interesting, man. Every time I see him, he's got something really cool on, you know.
Yeah,
he's wearing something very cool.
He's a genius for sure.
Great drummer too.
Yeah, totally.
Well, what's in the near future for Lisa Prank? How are you? Your new record, Adult Teen. How are you promoting that? Are you going to go on tour? Who are you touring with? Where are you going?
Well, my record doesn't come out till June.
Oh, okay.
I'll for sure do a bunch of touring once it comes out. But I'm also, next week I'm going on tour with Taco Cat, actually. I'm opening up for them. Their amazing new album is coming out on Thursday. So I'm going on tour with them. We're starting in Seattle and I'm going with them all the way to New York. And then I'm going to fly back from New York, and they continue on. They're on tour for, like, 2 months or something. But I'm just doing the first 2 weeks with them. So I'm really excited about that.
Are you planning their Philadelphia tour? Or so the Philadelphia date?
I'm not. I think that's after I'm back in Seattle, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I wish you the best of luck with your new record. I think it's great.
Thank
I think
you so
people
much.
Are
Thank
love
you.
It comes out in June.
I really
on
appreciate
Miscreant,
that.
Miscreant record.
Miscreant and Father Daughter.
Father Daughter.
Yeah.
And Robin, have a wonderful day. I think it's been about a half hour, I'm guessing. It's been awesome.
Yeah.
This
is so fun. Thank you. Great. I can't wait to listen back and see how many times I say like.
You want me to edit those likes out?
No, it's cool.
Okay. All right, Robin. Hey, have a great day, all right?
All right, you too.
You've been on
Bye.
The shit show with J-Bo. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.